Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Bills Mafia. We know there's only one topic every day. All Bills, all the time. And now Matt Bove and Sal Capaccio are going really deep, talking Bills all year long, because it's always game day in Buffalo.
Matt, I was thinking on the drive over here, we should literally be calling these hallway episodes.
Yes.
Of Always Game Day in Buffalo.
That's a nice little branding. I like that. These are the hallway podcasts. We can totally, hopefully we've got a lot more of them coming this season. But yeah, that could be our new shtick.
This is another Wednesday podcast from One Bills Drive. Sal Capaccio, Matt Bove. Thanks a lot. It's always game day in Buffalo. All right, we just heard from Sean McDermott. Really good news about Brandon Codrington. He said he looks like he's ready to go. Alec Anderson will be limited at practice with the calf injury. I'm not guessing anything really major there. We'll see how the week unfolds. We are still concerned about Ray Davis, though, who is still in concussion protocol. Looks like he won't practice today.
Yeah, my guess is, or I guess I'm asking you, what do they do? Do they elevate a running back, you think, for this week? Or do you think that they're just cool with the two that they've got? I know that would put a lot on the plate of both of them, but Ray Davis is a guy who gets snaps. I think it's not out of the question that maybe we see a running back elevation this week.
The only one would be Frank Gore Jr. I would not doubt that that could be the case, especially considering they are healthy around the roster, so they wouldn't have to elevate another player to another position. Position because of injury. So I would guess that if we get to the end of the week, maybe you do see Frank Gore Jr. elevated by Saturday at 4 p.m. By Friday afternoon, and of course on WGR Sports Radio 550 during Sean McDermott's weekly radio appearance, you know, he'll give us an injury update, and maybe he'll say if Ray Davis is cleared, if he's going to still be going through the protocol, or if he's declared out for the game. In the meantime, the Bills made an interesting roster transaction today just before Sean McDermott. They signed quarterback Anthony Brown to the practice squad, released defensive tackle Ilyanku, who is up and down more than a yo-yo, by the way. Yeah. And Sean McDermott gave a great, insightful answer about Anthony Brown and why he's important this week.
Yeah, so when the transaction happened, my initial thought was on X, I quoted the post with Scout Team Lamar, question mark, and that's what it is. It's Scout Team Lamar Jackson, but he talked a little bit more in depth about how preparing for a guy like that will help keep the Bills honest this week, because you don't know, is he going to hand it off? Is he going to roll to his right? Is he going to roll to his left? Is he going to throw the ball? Those are all of the challenges that you have when going against Lamar Jackson. Keep in mind, everyone, the old Scout Team Lamar Jackson was Isaiah McKenzie. It was somebody who could move around and was quick. So I'm sure they wanted that aspect back in the building. It does not hurt that he was with the Baltimore Ravens earlier this year before he joined the Bills. That's another layer here. So yeah, it makes sense, and it's not a shocking move at all.
Was he in Baltimore this year? I don't know if he was. He was in Baltimore 2022, though.
I think he might have been in Baltimore.
You look that up. I saw that he was with the Bills this summer, though.
He was with the Bills and the Raiders this summer, but I think he might have also been with them.
He's going to check on that, and if he was, that would mean familiarity with Todd Monken's scheme. Otherwise, 2 years ago, he would still understand, you know, what the Ravens want to accomplish with Lamar Jackson. At least you do get that look. A few other players I thought about, if they weren't going to, I thought about this week before, knowing about Anthony Brown, never thought about them bringing in another quarterback. One of the guys I thought about would have been Curtis Samuel, who actually went to Ohio State as a running back, but you can't do that, folks. He's got to prepare to actually play a football game for the Buffalo Bills on offense.
He was released from their practice squad last year. Okay. Then he went to the Raiders and then to the Bills. So he was
On their practice squad? This is important.
Last year.
How long?
Like a month and a half.
So he would have some familiarity with Munkin's offense.
He was there for, it looks like, basically from cut down day until September, and then they cut him from that point. So, I mean, very small. Sure. So I misspoke. I apologize.
No, that's okay. But good research there. At least it helps to know that he has a little familiarity. More than anything, though, it's great to hear Sean McDermott give that type of insight, because you don't normally get that from a lot of coaches, especially Sean McDermott, plays it close to the vest. And not that he was revealing any big secret. The Ravens would know that. Do you remember last year? I remember, and I looked this up actually thinking about it, when someone asked me on X about, well, how much can he really help? Last year, the Bills played the Raiders. Kingsley Jonathan acted as Max Crosby during practice all week. And Spencer Brown, after the game, was telling everybody how great of a job Kingsley Jonathan did to help him prepare.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I'm sure matters more, like, to the fine-tuned details and to the, like, the intricacies that come with the NFL. But I mean, these guys are important, right? Yeah. And they serve a role, and their role is to do anything that they can to better prepare the Bills when they go on the field on Sunday to be ready for Lamar Jackson. That's not a small feat. I mean, Sean McDermott said, there's only one Lamar Jackson when talking about preparing for him. And then at the end, he said, good luck, because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take an unbelievable effort from the Bills defense to get this win.
All right. One of the things that's developing is the weather and the cold possibility for Sunday. We're going to have probably in the 20s or 30s for Saturday, and then bam, a big dip. We're looking at maybe temperatures around 10 to 15 degrees Sunday. Do you think that matters to this Ravens offense? I don't think it matters to the Bills. We've seen Josh Allen and this Bills offense perform at a very high level in very frigid temperatures. What about the Ravens? Could they be impacted?
I don't think so. I know that it's going to be really cold, and I know we mentioned the other day that Joe DiBiase said that would be the coldest game that Derrick Henry and Lamar Jackson have played in. I think there is something there. I've seen a couple people say this has been one of those things going around on social media, like, good luck tackling Derrick Henry in this cold. It's going to hurt. But I think this Bills team has almost embraced it. The idea of playing in the cold, they truly feel like this is a bigger advantage to them. So I think it's a little bit of a wash. I agree with the Derrick Henry thing, like, good luck tackling him. But heck, you can say that for a 75-degree day in September. He's just an absolute unit to try and take down. I don't think it's going to be crazy. I mean, if it's windy, I think that might make the Ravens not one-dimensional, but a little bit more run-heavy, because I'm not sure if Lamar can cut it through the winds the same way Josh Allen can. I always kind of think that inclement weather here in Buffalo benefits the team that's used to it. And in this case, it would be the Bills.
I also think it benefits a guy like Josh Allen if you have wind, which we don't know if it will be. Right now, it doesn't look like it's going to be too windy, because, as you said, maybe other quarterbacks aren't as adept as Josh Allen would be at throwing the ball through the wind. So we'll see how the weather goes. All right. Obviously, as this game goes on and everybody's kind of dissecting it from every angle, one of the big issues will be how the Bills deal with Derrick Henry and that personnel. As we get closer, do you feel like we're trending towards more of a 4-3 base? Maybe taking Taron Johnson off the field a little bit more often than we've seen?
I don't. I actually feel the other way. And okay. I agree with it. I just think Taron Johnson is one of your best football players, and taking him off of the field feels like it might cause more harm than good. Is it not a favorable matchup for the Bills having, you know, a smaller guy out there? Yeah, but I've always kind of thought of Taron just as much as a linebacker. I think in obvious run situations, maybe we see Dorian Williams out there. Mm-hmm. But if it's not an obvious run situation, I think Taron is going to be on the field. I mean, he is relentless. Like, that hit that he took, I don't remember, was it McLaughlin or was it Williams?
I think it was McLaughlin.
But him hitting the hole, he gets injured, he leaves the game for a couple minutes, he comes back. Like, that is a serious play. It probably doesn't work the same on Derrick Henry, and he might have been hurt even more. But, like, Taron Johnson is fearless, absolutely fearless. So I don't know if I want that guy off the field.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Bills will have to be very buttoned up on tackling this week, not just because of Derrick Henry, but Lamar Jackson. I asked Sean McDermott about the tackling and, you know, the fundamentals of tackling, because you think about it, here you got to go against Derrick Henry and how big he is, and then, oh, there's Lamar. He's so slippery. You're going to have to be very, very fundamentally sound tackling. The same can be true for the Baltimore Ravens. After last week's game against the Denver Broncos, I went back and watched the game, and One thing that really, not that this is new, Matt, but I really was so impressed once again with James Cook's vision and how he makes people miss. And I think especially if there's any precipitation, a little bit of colder weather, I think that is an advantage to James Cook too, his running style.
Yeah, he's slippery, and you always wonder how that's going to translate when the weather is a bit rough. And I think back to the 49ers game where he was exceptional in that game. I also think about like LeSean McCoy when he was here, and he 100%. Was a player who was able to navigate that better and became even more dominant because other players couldn't handle it the same way that he could handle it. So I do think that that is a potential advantage there, but I don't know if this is going to be a game where we see as much balance as we saw against the Broncos. I know in that game it was very let's run, let's establish.
You're looking at more of a Josh Allen dropping back, throwing the ball kind of game.
I think it might be a Josh Allen dropping back and throwing it in RPOs with Josh Allen and getting him to run the ball and keeping that Ravens defense honest, making them fear him running and then trying to hit some shots. I'm not saying they're going to abandon the run at all, because if you have early success running the ball, you should run the ball in this game. But I think the Ravens defensive line is going to be more likely to stop it than the Broncos were.
All right. So if I asked you, as we kind of wrap up here and get ready to head out to practice after a walkthrough today and then hear from players, if I asked you to give me one player on offense, one player on defense that you said, you know what, Sal, if this guy plays really well, aside from Josh Allen, it's going to really help their chances. If I don't hear much from him, don't think he played that well, it's going to really maybe not, it's going to hurt the Bills' chances, I guess. Offense and defense, give me one.
So Matt Milano is my guy on defense. Yeah. And it's funny because of all the things that people have said about Matt Milano on social media and the like fake quote that was out there and everything. But I feel like he changes a game. I feel like his ability to get to the sideline, move, close gaps, he's just a really good player. And I think we saw Matt Milano's best game against the Broncos. And if he can build off of that, I think that would do wonders for the Bills. So defensively, he is my guy. Offensively, how about Amari Cooper? I think Amari, you're good, guys. You're good.
You go ahead, guys.
I mean, Josh.
Yeah, colleagues walking by.
Josh Reed back here. Just like no professionalism at all. I think Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper had 2 catches for 8 yards against the Broncos because they did not need him to be a massive game changer. I am not thinking that this is going to be like a 9-target Amari Cooper game. But what if this is a game where he has the 1 big catch or the 2 big catches? That's what he did against the Chiefs on the first drive. That's what he did against the Jets on that touchdown that kind of sealed the win. I think Amari Cooper might have a bigger, because I'm interested if Marlon Humphrey follows him or if they put Marlon Humphrey on somebody else to try and like completely negate that player. So I'm interested to see how that how that all plays out. But I think Amari Cooper might play a factor in this game.
And I would say to that note, the weak part, quote unquote, all air quotes, okay, don't want any Baltimore material. The part that teams have attacked on the Ravens has been the opposite side of Marlon Humphrey. I think it's Brandon Stevens, I think, who's been there. And that's where Tre'Davious White has played a little bit. They put him in certain situations. Anybody you talk to in Baltimore say, hey, what role does Tre'Davious White play? Say, no, he's played a little bit, because that's kind of been a spot they haven't completely shore up a lot. So I agree with you. It could be that. I'm going to give you I'm going to agree with Matt here. I'm not going to even go in a different direction. I'm going to say Matt Milano. I will say, though, I think if you get one or two big plays from Von Miller, it could really change this game.
Yeah.
I think the way that, you know, he could kind of alter it. But I agree with you from a down to down basis. The guy on the Bills side I'm going to go with, the guy we've seen a lot of big plays from, Ty Johnson. Yeah. I think Ty Johnson on third down becomes big because of pass protection and then leaking out of the backfield, maybe getting those hidden yards. You don't think, hey, that was a 4 yard gain or a 5 yard gain when maybe it could have been 2 or 3 yards because you just slip it out to him, you know, and Josh Allen can rely on him. So I think that he becomes a bigger part. And again, if you have no Ray Davis, Ty Johnson as well. Okay. From the Ravens side, Zay Flowers, we don't know if he's going to play, but I'm getting this sense of he's not going to play. And if he does, I don't think he's going to be nearly the type of player that you would normally commit your resources to, I guess.
Well, I guess that's the interesting question is, does he, he's certainly a great player, but is he going to be himself? Because if he's not, that might be a net negative. Because if he's out there playing through an injury and he can't contribute in the same way that you would think he, Zay Flowers is so good because he can separate. If he can't separate, that is a matchup I think the Bills will be able to have some success against. I think he's still their most dangerous weapon besides Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Maybe Mark Andrews. Actually, Mark Andrews is really good.
And
Mark
Isaiah Likely is good too.
Isaiah Likely is good too, but Zay Flowers is a very good player. I don't know what's going to happen. Harbaugh's comment about him in his first press conference of the week was telling to me. He said, we'll see, but then he gave himself the out. He doesn't need to practice to play. That, to me, almost says he's not going to practice, and then they will evaluate it as they get closer to the game. So I don't know. I think it's a coin flip, but I would be surprised if he's like available practicing early in the week. I think it's maybe he practices on Friday or he doesn't practice at all.
I agree with that. If you look at their wide receiver room, Rashad Bateman, Tylan Wallace, Nelson Aguilar, all guys who have made plays, and Aguilar actually has played well against the Bills in games in the past. But to me, what you would do there is if you don't have Zay Flowers, you're probably using Isaiah Likely more in a two tight end set more.
Yeah, that's what I would imagine. I would imagine that they do a lot of Likely and Mark Andrews. And then in that, I'm interested to see how they, it depends on what happens with Zay Flowers. I'm interested to see how they use Christian Benford this week because they have not been a team that really like follows a guy. They don't tell Christian, go follow a guy. If Zay Flowers is hurt, I might want Christian Benford on Rashad Bateman at all times. I don't, that's not what they're going to do because they're not going to change things up now. This is what they've, has gotten them there. They're not going to change who they are, but I think that that could be a really favorable matchup because then, you know, you figure everything else out after that.
All right. What else? Any other meat on the bone here that before we get going here, we want to keep things short and sweet for everybody to be able to get as much content as possible this week?
No, nothing that I can think of. I mean, like we said, it is a walkthrough today. The Alec Anderson news is what I expected. He finished the game, so I'm fully expecting that he's going to be available for them on Sunday unless there's some sort of setback. They're really healthy. Besides the Ray Davis concussion, they are very healthy right now, and it is a vastly different outlook than it was last year going into the Chiefs game when they didn't have, like, anybody in that game. I mean, in that game, I think they were without Terrell Bernard, obviously Matt Milano. I think they were without Christian Benford in that game. One of the corners they did not have.
Baylen Specter got hurt, I believe, in the Steelers game.
Baylen Specter got hurt.
He was the backup. That's why they brought AJ Klein in.
Yeah, they were just really
Gabe Davis.
I mean, you go back and you look at the video from the game in September. Like, oh my goodness.
I know.
And then
all three of those guys on the sidelines, Milano, Bernard and Taron Johnson.
My take from last year still, and this is, I know, probably a ludicrous take, is that if Gabe Davis was healthy, the Bills would have won that game. And I know that's a weird person to pick out, but like they were taking deep shots to Trent Sherfield. Say what you want about Gabe Davis. That was the thing that he was able to do, was connect on deep shots, and they just didn't have any success stretching the field. I mean, they lost by a field goal, right? Terrell Bernard would have probably been like, oh, if they had him, he would win that game. But like Gabe Davis, missing him was a really big loss. And now they're, you know, healthy on offense and mostly on defense too.
And if Alec Anderson, for some reason, you know, can't go, the Bills offensive coordinator Joe Brady did say on Monday, they do train other players, obviously, to be able to handle that extra offensive lineman role, but we're anticipating Alec Anderson will be okay. We'll have more for you as the week goes on. We'll have more of an injury update as well. For our producer, Mike Rabier, we thank you for joining us, listening, wherever you are, iTunes, Spotify, all of the WGR and Odyssey apps. And how about all the numbers we're getting on the YouTube side, Matt? A phenomenal. Last week, Mark Slayworth, over 43,000 views. Last I checked this morning, over 10,000 just from last night's show. So keep them going. We love seeing the content. The more you watch, the more we want to bring shows to you. So thanks a lot from down here at One Bills Drive.